This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and maybe even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here we go now.
So far, so good.
With guest host, Jim Jackson.
I like it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Get the duck boats ready. The Boston Celtics, they are the best team in the NBA.
I've been telling you since October, best team in the NBA.
Earlier on the show, ESPN senior NBA writer, Mark Spears. Basketball Hall of Famer, Grant Hill. Coming up, contributing writer for The Atlantic, Jemele Hill. And now, sitting in for Rich, Jim Jackson.
Welcome back, welcome back. Rich Eisen Show, Jim Jackson here filling in. Been honored to be back. Talked a little bit of football, NFL, my Steelers. This is the year that we make some noise. NBA Finals, Friday. Celtics have an opportunity to wrap it up. Always tough in a closeout game. Yeah. You know, the question always goes back to, can you match the intensity that the Mavs and the crowd are going to bring at the beginning of the game? And I thought Mark Spears said something very interesting. We'll be able to tell the first 5 minutes.
Yep. Absolutely.
At the body language of the Mavericks, if they've packed it up and regulated themselves that it's over or they're fighting. I tend to think that from a competitive perspective of who they have on their team, that they're going to fight and claw.
I think they'll fight, but it is really interesting. If say, Boston is up 10 at the six-minute mark, what's going to happen there? Does it go to 20? Does it go to 25? Or do they get back in it and tie it up? They showed a lot of heart in the fourth quarter of Game 3. They could have easily packed that in when it got to 21 at the 10-minute mark. And
crowd was out of it.
Crowd was totally toast.
Out of it.
Out of it. Over. Hit a couple of shots, crept back in, it got to one, and they really could have won that game on Wednesday. So I think Mark nailed it. We'll see pretty early on what type of team Dallas is going to throw out there tonight.
Yeah, it's all, and again, the conversation that Jason Kidd and coaching staff are having or had with this team is like, it's one game, so we got to take one game at a time. Win one, put ourselves in the position that we go back to Boston. And then we approach that game. And the key for Boston, too, is we saw with Porzingis, injuries. You want to get this thing over with. You don't know what could happen with regards to something down the line. We don't want to, but it is something that could go on, an injury that prevents you, that extends this series a lot longer than it probably, in your mind, needs to be. Mm-hmm. So it's very important from, you know, the perspective of the Celtics, and Joe Mazzulla talked about just doing the little things, continuing to do the little things well that have allowed us to be in this position, not only as overall number one team, but also up 3-0 against the Mavericks.
Chris, you know, I was asking you guys this morning, out of Brown, Tatum, and Mazzulla, who do you think is the benefits the most? Let's just say you do win this championship, whether it's today or 2 days from now, wherever. Whose story gets the biggest, I guess, boost by becoming an NBA champion, would you say?
I mean, it's all three, but if you just want to talk players, it's Tatum and Brown. They are one unit. They are together. We've been talking about them since they became teammates in the 17-18 season. And they've been on this ride. I mean, I've watched every single game these guys have ever played.
That's a lot of games.
And the media, certain factions of it, have been trying to break these guys up and pit them against each other for a long time.
Should one of them and get traded? Should one go?
Yeah. Yep. And it's always been Jalen. Jalen's always been the one in trade talks, whether it was for Kevin Durant or anyone else. And they're trying to split these guys, and you can't. You can't break up brothers. And these guys have a real brotherhood and a real friendship and a real love for each other that is only going to be taken to the next level when they finish the job, whether it's tonight or Monday or, you know, heaven forbid, a game six. I'll lose my mind.
Chris,
thank God I have no hair.
If they win it, where does this duo rank all time with the Celtics leverage?
Wow.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
Keep it, because Jamel Hill just logged
good.
On.
Give me some time,
time to think about it.
Because that was such a deep question.
No, it's a deep question. It is, because that's one that's going to come up.
17 titles to choose from duos from, you know?
But right now, look, a really good friend of mine, a Big Ten alumni, Sparty Dog in the house, Jamel Hill, is able to join us. Thank you for taking the time to come on board and join us. I know you got a busy schedule. You big time. You traveling the world. You doing all this stuff. But first of all, I ain't talk to you in a minute. How you been? What's going on?
I've been well, and I hope you're not going to ask me that same question about the Celtics, because I was like, I also need time to think about it.
No, I'm going to put you on the spot on that, because you've been around it too long. So you're quick on your feet. I know you can give me something. But just real quick, before we get anything else, just give us a little background. What's going on with you, what you're doing, what you're working on?
I'm working on a lot. I'm executive producing Colin Kaepernick's documentary, which is directed by Spike Lee, which – where we made really good progress with that. And hopefully you all will see it somewhat soon. I also will be launching a new podcast in the fall. And so, and I'm working on a children's book that's coming out next year. So I got some things that definitely will be keeping me busy, and plotting a TV return, but I got to keep that a little hush hush.
TJ, you hear that? Just throwing out the little nuggets of.
She tried to bury the lead in that.
We were going to not talk about it. But listen, thanks for coming on. And of course, this is a big reason why I wanted to get you on, just from your journalistic background and perspective. There's been a lot of talk and chatter, as you know, and you've been all over the circus talking about the WNBA, Caitlin Clark. Whether she should be on the Olympic team. I just wanted to dig into, from your perspective, because you're one of the ones that have covered and followed the sport for quite some time. So you have a better understanding of the growth, some of the pains, but also some of the, I think, the gains that have happened over the last 5 to 6 years. Where are we at in terms with the WNBA and its growth? And kind of walk us through kind of when you saw the change of it start to elevate.
So just to give everybody some background. So the WNBA was actually the first professional team that I covered. My first job out of college, I was a reporter at the News and Observer in Raleigh, North Carolina. And Charlotte had a WNBA team. They were one of the cities originally awarded with one. They were called the Charlotte Sting. And I was covering a lot of women's basketball at that time in general, because you had three very good college teams in Duke, North Carolina, and North Carolina State. They were all like top 10 teams at the time that I was working in North Carolina. So I did a lot of things in women's basketball very early in my career. And obviously, as I covered more men's sports, me covering it, I didn't do it as regularly, but always watched, always paid attention, always kept my contacts and resources in the league and in women's college basketball. So I bring that as institutional knowledge to this discussion. And so what I would say is that people have to remember, when the WNBA first started, it was like a huge marketing push. It was, I mean, you look back at some of what the games were drawing, because they were on NBC. Like, they were drawing like a million and a half people watching the games. So it actually started in a really good place. And, you know, obviously, I think there's been some ups and downs since then. But one of the more inflection points that doesn't get talked about a lot was COVID, because that's when you saw a lot of WNBA games and their ratings again took a leap. You know, they had gone down, they took another leap, and there were definitely stops and starts at various points. And so sort of since then, it has been like a steady uptick. Now, obviously, once you bring Caitlin Clark to the league, things take off on a totally new, unprecedented level than what we've ever seen. I mean, I think it's fairly fair to say, like, she's the most impactful women's basketball player that we've seen in maybe generations, just with her ability to draw an audience, her playing style, which is totally part of the modern day playing style, the logo threes, something obviously that people see in the men's game all the time. We know how infatuated people are with the three-pointer, given the fact that I think now we're at a point where people would kind of rather see the three-point contest than probably see the dunk contest at NBA All-Star Weekend. So she's bringing all of these very new elements, you know, to the game. And the WNBA is generating a lot of media attention that it didn't before. It always deserved to have this media attention when you look at the skill set, the icons that have come through the game. But sometimes the media needs to be drugged into covering something by a personality, by a rivalry, by whatever, the same way the NBA took off with Magic and Bird. I mean, it's very similar with her and Angel Reese. And so we're at a really good, healthy point in terms of attention and eyes that are on the league. The unhealthiest parts of this are the debates and the conversations that I think we're accustomed to seeing to some degree in men's sports, but they're now making their way in women's sports. But the difference is, in some cases, the people that are now talking about the WNBA haven't been there, don't have the institutional knowledge the same way they automatically have with men. And one thing that you see that is very much the difference is that, like, there are literally commentators who sort of brag about the fact that they haven't been watching and brag about the fact they don't know anything about the league. And that's considered completely acceptable. I can't get on anybody's airwaves and talk about how much I don't know about the NFL or the NBA. It doesn't work that way for me. But men are able to do that. And so some of these narratives and conversations are being shaped by people who, again, don't have the same institutional knowledge. Like, you don't have to know everything that ever happened in WNBA history, but you do need to know some key things that happen the same way I need to know certain key things that happen when I'm talking about the NFL or the NBA.
Jamel, is it fair to say, excuse me, and you talked about this, the excitement in which Caitlin brings to the table, the timing of it, the three-point shooting, kind of like when Steph got in the league, it was guys that were more athletic, that did more things, that were dunking the basketball, but because he brought something a little bit different, that's what the media tended to focus on. That was the excitement. Kids got into that. Is that more so the case with Caitlin? Because what she was able to do in college by shooting from the logo, it was a lot different than posting up inside or hitting a layup. Is that the part that a lot of people are missing from a marketing perspective of why she's kind of looked upon a little bit differently because she's viewed differently of how she played the game and what she brought to the table?
Narratives and stories matter. And I do think she has that same every woman quality that Steph does. Like, most people wake up knowing they will never be LeBron James. You're not going to be 6'8", and you're not going to be 260 pounds and be able to handle the ball like a guard and have the passing ability of Magic while also being extremely athletic. That is called hitting the genetic lottery. Steph is an everyman, right? It's like, he's 6'2", you know, he worked really hard. You know, he was in highly recruited. He went to Davidson. This is all part of his kind of underdog narrative and why a lot of people love watching him play, because they can imagine themselves working hard enough in their backyard, using their hoop, shooting threes from the street and beyond. They can imagine themselves actually developing that skill. They can see it. And it's the same thing with Caitlin Clark, is that, yes, you may never be able to have the footwork of Asia Wilson, the athleticism, but maybe you can be able to shoot from the logo like Caitlin Clark. So that's a very big part of the appeal. Look, when we're talking about marketability, there are certain boxes that you need to check. One, she's good. Two, she broke records. She's a generational talent. She plays a modern style that hasn't been necessarily highlighted in the women's game, because the women's game has very much been, it's actually been kind of a dominant big woman's game, right? Like, you look at Candace Parker and Asia Wilson and the names and Lisa Leslie. These are the names that have dominated. And of course, you have Breonna Stewart and Diana Rossi and others, and certainly guards have too. But a lot of what goes on in the women's game happens in the paint. That's where a lot of the dominant players have been. So there is something to be said for that. But it's also narratives. She's from Iowa. This is a place that, while they certainly have a basketball tradition, they're not used to being on the national basketball map the way that she brought them onto the map. And that in itself gives it an underdog quality. She's from the Midwest, and a part that's not always talked about as being sexy and cool. And, you know, so when you have somebody like, I think it was Travis Scott, that showed up to her game in Iowa, like, that's a huge sort of cultural marker for this entire phenomenon. And then you add, as I said, and I know a lot of people thought it was controversial, but I don't think it's controversial at all, is that, yes, you check all those boxes, and she's straight, and she's white. Yes, this all makes up for what is considered to be a marketing phenomenon for a lot of people. Now, maybe the more interesting question to ask, and one of my former colleagues said this, Bomani Jones, who's a good friend of mine, is that maybe the question to ask is, like, why did it take a Caitlin Clark for all of this to pop off in terms of the conversation, the interest level in the WNBA? And that's a whole nother discussion onto itself. But, like, yeah, it's very easy to see why she has become the story in basketball America right now.
I think also, too, and you talk about this, is that the narrative that inside the WNBA, the players, the coaches, people who've been involved, really try to get across too, is that, yes, we value what Caitlin is bringing to the table, but we've been here. We've been kind of surviving, but also thriving. If you look at the numbers based on last year, the attendance, you know, was up 16%. The TV ratings were up 21%. They were able to get charter flights last year. That was a part of it. So, yes, it was building up. Could it be said that, and you talked about the timing of Caitlin, or someone like Caitlin, that it was the timing that led to all of this conversation, and she was the right conduit to kind of bring a lot of this together?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say, is that, like, you know, it was sort of like, if you want to look at it like a football field, the ball had been advancing. They had been getting first downs. Now they got somebody who can, you know, throw the long bomb to Randy Moss, you know what I'm saying? Like, cut half the field, right? Just take it a little further. But it is important to acknowledge, I think, as part of the conversations, the contributions of the people that were able to get the WNBA to this point. You know, if Dawn Staley, Cheryl Swoops, and all those women who were on the 96 Olympic Dream Team, if they not riding buses and sharing hotel rooms as they tried to create what has become the most, arguably the most dominant American Olympic sport or American Olympic team that we have, you know, having won 7 straight gold medals. If they don't ride the bus and share hotel rooms and get paid nothing, then the WNBA doesn't happen. And so you sort of have to be able to have the nuance to be able to tell two stories at once. And one of the things that I love about the arrival and the presence of Caitlin Clark is that she's allowing us to go back in history, highlight those moments that led to this moment, and explain it all. And she's also, frankly, forcing a level of accountability in the WNBA, as was the case also in women's basketball, forcing a level of accountability and intentionality that wasn't always there. So it wasn't that the talent wasn't there. It wasn't that the personalities weren't there. It's that they needed a bit of a flash fire to be able to make all of this and everything about the league illuminate. You know, like, I remind people with these ratings that you saw at the women's college basketball level, keep in mind that when Cheryl Miller, when she made her national television debut in the mid-80s, 12 million people watched Cheryl Miller play, all right? All it took is for more investment and all those things to happen over the course of the year to take advantage of somebody like Cheryl Miller, and that didn't happen. So there have been points where you have these supernovas that happen where there wasn't the investment in the intentionality, and now there is, and she's forcing them to do that. Because realize when the championship game, the women's championship game in college basketball was on ABC, that was the first time in decades it had been on network TV. As people forget, it used to be on CBS. Then ESPN took it over, and the game got moved to ESPN, the women's national championship game, and much of the tournament. And while you got more games, it's like the part of the reason why the ratings never even had a shot at being close to what the men's were is because it wasn't on network television. When you're on CBS versus ESPN, it makes a difference. And now they've done that. And so now we'll see what will happen as a result. So it's like when you get these opportunities, you have to have people in the decision-making capacity who have the decision-making power to make sure that these things are taken advantage of. And it is that is what allows the sport itself to grow.
You know, Jamal, I think what's being lost in the conversation, too, is something that goes back to college basketball, women's college basketball. And it used to happen in the men's game. Is that you were able to follow and grow with a player over 3 to 4 years. And then you developed a sense of knowledge, of knowing, of watching this player grow. And we see it in the women's game. South Carolina, for instance, and UConn, being able to follow those great teams, Tennessee, Candace Parker back in the day, and you were able to develop somewhat of a relationship with those players because you watched them grow. And that's the same case with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. We saw the battles, and now they brought that interest into the pro game. Unlike the men's game, we don't have that anymore. It's one and done, and you don't develop that. That passion now has spilled over a little bit. And I think a lot of the talk has been the fans of Caitlin Clark or the bashing unnecessarily of an Angel Reese because of what happened in college. And that's taken on a life all in itself. Even though we're talking about the WNBA, some can be negative, some can be positive. But a lot of that spurs from being able to develop some kind of relationship with them in college.
Yeah, I think you bring up a great point there because in a weird way, the exploitation is going to work for the women. And by that, like, the women have to stay in college, right? And men, we know it's a different rule. You know, you can be literally, as you said, you know, one and done. So with the men's game, it's a combination of one and done. And then you have in wide open transfer rules. So like every year, you don't know who's where or what's happening. And you're only following them for a short period of time. With the women, you get an opportunity to follow a complete story. And that's why when people were wondering whether or not Caitlin Clark's success in college, as in the rating success that she generated, whether or not that would translate to the WNBA, I had no doubt that it would, because in America, we do like to follow stories. People want to see how this story plays out. You know, when Magic and Bird, NBA scene, you know, Magic won the championship, but people wanted to see how is this rivalry going to play out, particularly now that we know they can play one another for championships. And it's the same with both Angel Reese and her and this entire rookie class, is that people want to see how this story turns out because they have been able to become emotionally invested over the course of time. I mean, we're out here in L.A., Jimmy, so you know we know about Juju Watkins. Now Juju Watkins is coming to the Big Ten, mm-hmm. and I have a feeling that her star, as big as it is now, is only going to get even bigger than it already was, because now another half of the country is going to see her play. And she's got, I mean, her game reminds me so much of Carmelo. I mean, she has amazing game. She's got a great nickname, right? Like, she's got all the tools. And she smashed Caitlin Clark's freshman scoring record by almost 200 points. She's a scorer, a dynamic elite scorer. And so we're going to see people be able to follow that same storyline. People have been following Paige Bueckers for years, and she's projected to be the number one pick next year. So like those things and elements are why I think the popularity for both women's college basketball and what we're seeing at the pro level are completely sustainable. On top of adding to the fact we're about to get we're sending another dominant Olympic team to Paris.
Well, I think also too, with the new TV deal that the NBA mm-hmm. has negotiated for the WNBA, that infuses more cash into the league. You know, it's all a business talk about losing money. They're turning the page. And I want to touch on this real quick, too, with regards to the players of the WNBA. A lot of talk has been the jealousy part of the current veteran. Not that there's always a sense of protection. We've had it. I had to go through it, you know, as a rookie. We see that in football, baseball, basketball, whatever it is, a young player that comes in, young players that come in, because Candace Parker had to deal with it too, her rookie year. That conversation in itself, and you've been around it, how much does that play into it? And I don't like to use the word jealousy, but it is part of the narrative with regards to Caitlin and also Angel Reese and the rookies that come in play into maybe some of the negative conversation with the WNBA?
So my issue again is the double standard, right? As you just mentioned, as a player, Jimmy, you had to go through it. You probably had to go through it when you first got to Ohio State. You had to go through it again when you got in the NBA, right? It's part of the rite of passage. Whenever there is somebody new on the block, and especially if they're coming with a lot of accolades, a lot of hype, people want to know, is it real or is it Memorex? Like, what they say you are?
Exactly.
Every level of sport that happens. And it was just kind of irritating for me to see that narrative be twisted into, oh, y'all women, because it's so easy to attach those two tropes to women. pettiness and jealousy, right? And so it's just like, oh, that's funny, because I went back and looked at what LeBron James's Cleveland teammates were saying about him
when he was
drafted, right? Uh-huh. You've seen this clip, right?
Carlos Boozer.
Carlos Boozer, Darius Miles. You had Darius Miles saying, I don't see any high school player being able to take us to another level. This is, you know, paraphrasing.
Right.
And his exact words were, I hope he can get on our bandwagon. He said that about LeBron James.
Yep.
Did anybody call him Darius Miles petty or jealous?
Nope.
Nope.
Well, they might that have, but just, not to this extent.
They might have.
Yeah.
But not to this extent.
No.
It didn't overtake the narrative, right? It didn't become the storyline or whatever. It was plenty of players that thought that. The dude was on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16. They were, when he got to the league, people want to know, yo, is he really the generational talent that people say that he is? And obviously that proved that he exceeded expectations, to be honest. But that's the same scope. But like, I want, as I've said to a few people privately, I just want some of the men to talk about the WNBA and what's happening there the same way y'all talk about the guys. Like, right? Like, you don't resort Anthony Edwards when they asked him if Jamal Murray was his role model, and he said, quote, hell no. Y'all don't call that petty or jealous, right? That's what he said.
Right.
What
yeah.
that man said, okay? Uh-huh. But y'all don't call that petty. Y'all don't call that jealous. But when you see vets in the league saying, like, she gonna have to earn it, yes, this is what happens. And listen, I know people will highlight the very obvious cheap shot from Kennedy Carter. Like, nobody is saying that was right or that was a basketball play. It clearly wasn't. However, if you watch the whole game, which I did, those two talking trash up and down the court.
Mm-hmm.
They jawing, they getting physical with one another. And again, that wasn't the way she should have handled that. But if you saw the context of the game, you're kind of not surprised that happened, especially with that player in particular, who is known to have a short fuse.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, but they brought none of that context to the discussion. Everything was, oh, this just proves they're jealous. Nah, it just proves that she was battling with somebody who's a fierce competitor, who took things too far, and this was the result. It happens 1,000 times in the NBA every damn year, and we don't have this entire broad-based discussion about people picking on a player. And so I just need the commentary around the WNBA and what we're seeing to just grow up a little bit. Because Angel Reese almost got her head taken off by Alyssa Thomas. And I ain't seen nobody talk to
her. Twice.
Yep. And you know why? Alyssa Thomas, everybody knows. Like, she finished, I believe, second in MVP voting last year. She a real one. It's a reason why she's on this Olympic team. Okay? And so it's funny.
Facts.
Yeah, she bought that life. And it's funny because the constant complaint you hear from NBA fans all the time is, it's too soft. The player's too friendly. Blah, 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 blah. And what do you know? You have some of these things y'all said y'all missed happening in the NBA. And now look where we are.
It's true. Sports are better when people hate each other.
It is.
And there's real rivalries. This is what we need.
We do need. Right. But what I love about it, and I really appreciate you coming on and talking and providing the insight, is that we're really jumping into and having these serious conversations about the WNBA. And it's more voices like yours and other women who have played the game, who have covered the game, that provide a better insight into why things have played out the way they have. And probably more so than not, Jamil, the future, where the future of the league is trending to because of the influx of outstanding young talented women and also the forebears who set the standard before. And you keep them involved. So the WNBA is progressing. I love to see it. And matter of fact, when my son was younger, growing up, I said, you need to watch women play. Watch them play, and you'll learn the fundamentals of the game a lot more because they're not dependent upon, even though young women are more athletic now, that wasn't the premise behind it. It was learning how to play the game. So it's in a great place. You're in a great place. When you get that TV thing going, since you already dropped a dime on it, get that TV thing. Holler at your boy, you know, the Big Ten.
Oh, you
Detroit,
know I'm
going
to holler at you.
Toledo,
you know
right down the street. It's up 75. I love to be on it. But congrats on everything. Thanks for coming on and blessing us.
And I really appreciate it. And as I always tell you, Jimmy, it's like, you know, among the many reasons we can bond is that we both hate Michigan. We are
one
accord.
There we go.
Rich ain't here. Talk all the smack.
I know.
You already know. Thanks, Jamel. Have a good one. Enjoy the game tonight, too.
Right, Jamel. See you, Jamel.
We'll do.
Oh, that's my Sparty dog right there. But great insight. Yeah. We can touch more on that. We got a little break coming up, but
she said something real quick that I really agree with. I said this to Chris the other day. I feel like Caitlin and Angel might be Magic and Bird, and Juju could be Mike coming into this league when it's all said and done.
We're going to go to break because that's a great tease to talk about kind of the other side of this. Where do we go with that dynamic of Caitlin and Angel, but also the young talent
coming in,
especially here at USC with Juju?
This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There you are, you're clapping.
Oh, he's sweating. He's sweating.
Wait a minute.
So he made it out of contestants, bro?
Yes,
he made it out of contestants. I'm going to the car! Yes! TJ can win a car!
Let's go!
This is amazing! All right, Master Key is the game. Master Key is the game. This is going to take a while. Okay, here we go. Oh, popcorn machine.
Oh, I take that if you want that, TJ.
By the way, you've got to bring in this popcorn machine if you win it. I want this popcorn.
Oh, 41.
It's not a $71. 41. It's 41. That's one key. Grab the key. Take the middle key. Take the middle key. There's five keys.
Yes.
He takes the middle key. No, he's not looking. He takes the second to the right key.
I didn't look.
That's right.
Here's another key. Here's a basket. $584. That's a $58 basket. It's not an $84 basket.
No way.
What's in it?
You got to get what's in it, too. It's an $84 basket.
It's an $84 basket.
Here's where I messed up. I listened to
That's an $84 basket.
I listened to the people.
Come on, TJ.
TJ.
84. No, it went 58.
No! TJ!
Oh, he only has one key.
We need to find a friend.
Oh, my gosh. Come on, TJ. It's an $84 key.
Uh-oh. Master Key. Right.
Does it unlock the... Okay, it does not...
Coffee maker.
No coffee maker. Okay, he's going to unlock the electric bike.
No.
Okay, all right. Does it unlock the car?
Oh, my God.
Does it unlock the car?
Let's go.
Does it unlock the car?
Does it unlock
the car?
Does it unlock the car?
He's turning the key. No! TJ! TJ!
I can honestly say, so we just watched the clip of TJ on Price is Right, in our Roku-only segment. That was the most disappointed I'd been since Aaron Boone hit a home run off to Wakefield.
That was
2003, Game 7, ALCS. One of the worst days ever. Until I saw TJ perform on Price is Right. I wanted you to win so bad, bro.
I did win.
No, you didn't.
See, Jimmy, here's what they never want to give me credit for, Jimmy.
What?
The fact that, like, I was one of the last people to get up there before the show ended.
Okay.
The fact that I won the very first game I went up to, and I won it. The fact that I had to spin the wheel first and then had to survive other two women just to make it. Like, I feel like I won. I just
Nobody
didn't.
Gets credit for making the NBA Finals. You gotta win.
Right. So when you get credit, you may not be well received. Like you got there.
Everyone makes fun of Charles Barkley forever, even to his face. He should have punched that guy the other day. By the way,
well, dude, Phoenix fans give him credit for getting there.
I want to remind you that when I give you the list of teams that have longer Super Bowl droughts than the Cowboys, and someone's going to go, "Well, they got there. Well, they didn't win," and that's the bottom line.
Exactly,
they didn't win. So I don't want to hear that the Niners have been there three times. They still have a longer Super Bowl drought than the Cowboys.
They do.
So
they do.
Nobody cares that you came in second, right, Jim? It's like who won the Super Bowl?
Well,
who won the NBA Finals?
That's true. That's true. But I know what they care about. Welcome back here to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Listen, Jamel, when she was on, she dropped a couple gems that she was working on the podcast. She was working on the show. Well, I'm going to drop a little something, because I know the world needs more of Jim Jackson. So
yes.
What we're working on here with the Rich Eisen Productions is a podcast starting in September, once a week. We're kind of working out a little bit of the logistics, but, I'm looking forward to it. All things sports,
life.
So you
just dropped the Woj bomb right now. Folks.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just something to look forward to. Just to sprinkle it in for next season.
I'm going to need you to say that with your chest a little bit more.
No, the chest is sticking out. It's going to be there. Cigar talk.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Travel, leisure, core sports. Love my it. Steelers. Maybe I'll have a logo with my Steelers. How about that? A lot of Clipper talk.
Awesome. Do you need a co-host to help move things along? Because, I might be free.
You might be free? Can you fit me in your busy schedule? I'm only small time.
I mean,
you're busy.
Not that busy. Not too busy for Jimmy Jackson.
There we go. See, that's the kind of, that's what I'm looking at. But listen,
congrats, man. That'll be great.
No, it'll be great. I'm looking forward to it, and I appreciate all the support, too. But I wanted to go back a little bit, kind of cap off what we were talking about, the WNBA, because I think it's very important in today's world on where we're at, on the perception. And the Juju Watkins, I think, conversation is going to become very relevant.
Yep.
Because she's in a position right now where she could, if everything goes right, can eclipse maybe what Caitlin did if it goes according to what she showed her freshman year.
And what Jamel said is really important. USC is now in the Big Ten.
Big Ten. So eyes are going to be...
Eyes everywhere. Everywhere. Now.
And a lot of it, too, is because... And that's a dynamic, Chris. That's great. Because Iowa's Big Ten, now USC is Big Ten. A lot of those records are going to be attributed to Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Will she, and let's just say it happens, what is that coverage going to look like? And I'll preface that by saying that a lot of times when the person that does it first, they tend to get more of the coverage because they've done it. It's like with Michael, as great as Kobe was, we've seen Michael. As great as Damian Lillard is, we've seen Isaiah. Steph came along, it was different. He was different. Mm-hmm. Guys can shoot from the logo and do all of this, Trae Young, but it was Steph before. Mm-hmm. So despite the numbers that he puts up, Steph already did it. Is that something that, from a Caitlin Clark perspective to a Juju, and again, I'm just projecting, I don't know. I'm just asking. Will we be able to see the same kind of coverage over that when she starts to get close to getting those records? Would the aura still be there since we've already seen it? Juju may do it a little bit different, but to something I've always, thought about.
It's really interesting. And what Juju can do that Caitlin couldn't, win a natty. If she's somehow able to take USC to the Final Four and win the national championship, that was the one thing on Caitlin Clark's resume that It's a big glaring hole. Wasn't able to win the championship at Iowa. Mm-hmm.
But to who? Because it hasn't held her back in regards to marketing and endorsements and
fanfare. I think when you're talking about it, I think we're talking about all time great. You're talking about Mount Rushmore, women's college players. Okay. You can't put her on.
People were trying that. And I said on the show, well, if we're not taking championships into consideration for these GOAT titles, mythical, then Dan Marino was the greatest quarterback of all time. He doesn't get mentioned in these.
He doesn't get mentioned because he never won.
If you take everything that made a great quarterback, Dan Marino was the man. But unfortunately, he didn't win a championship, so he doesn't get named.
But you know what? Even if let's say Caitlin got one. And you look at the women's game, what Cheryl Miller was able to accomplish, what Breanna Stewart.
You know, Breanna Stewart had 11 rings.
Let me tell you something. Her 4 years at UConn.
That's insane.
Even if Caitlin got one title, how can you put her ahead of
Stewie.
I mean, we live in the moment, but Maya Moore.
People don't understand. Maya Moore was her.
And it's because we're caught up in the moment a lot of times. You kind of, and I don't want to use the word disrespect, but you don't take into consideration what these women did before in college.
Yeah.
And the accomplishments that they, Candace Parker at Tennessee.
But don't you,
you just mentioned four players,
all-time greats, two colleges. I give Caitlin Clark so much credit for not going to UConn, not going to Tennessee.
If she was recruited by UConn at the time, you don't think she would have went?
I think she could easily, after her sophomore year, when she was kind of put herself on the map, could have went, I'm going to go somewhere else.
How many females you know transfer into UConn that are not recruited there? Have you heard of that with Gino?
I'm pretty sure Gino would have took Caitlin Clark, right?
Well, a lot of people don't realize Caitlin committed to Notre Dame first.
Yeah, she committed to Notre Dame.
And then, for whatever reason, she just didn't feel right, so she...
And it worked out. Maybe she wouldn't have worked out at a huge powerhouse
school
like that.
And she
probably needed that first year or two to kind of establish, because it worked out perfectly.
Her
changing her mind. Again, we're all talking about what could and the result, which is great. You think about the women that are able to play now, but Juju is the one up next.
Yep.
And what she's going to be able to do with USC. Mm-hmm. And there's a great point by you and you, TJ, and Chris, that we rush to say she's one of the greatest on Mount Rushmore, but you forget about
those who came
before and what they actually did accomplish. You know, by winning multiple championships, mm-hmm. player of the years, you know, records. How do you supplant that by just a scoring record? And that's not to diminish what she accomplished.
Definitely not.
It's, you know, one of those things but it makes great conversation. And we were talking about this too. The beauty with Jamil, the beauty about the women's game is that you're able to follow these young women and grow with them. You know, when I was coming out of school, you could look into the Parade All-Americans and, you know, Wooden Awards, and you could kind of chart who would be next year's Parade All-Americans, or, you know, for first-team All-American, second-team All-American in college. You can kind of chart that based on the previous year, the players. And you knew so when they came into the league, it's like you were coming in with them as a fan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know Ohio State has XYZ coming back. Syracuse has all these guys coming back. Georgetown, Duke. All these guys are coming back. Oh, I can't wait to watch next year.
That's what the women's game has.
The men's
game. That's my biggest disconnect from the college game from the men's side right now.
You've been saying this for years.
Years. And I'm a diehard Syracuse guy. It's hard to keep up with the players. I don't know who these guys are. Transfer portal now.
Free agency.
It's really tough. It's really tough. And that's my biggest disconnect on the men's side, whereas the women's side, it's easy to track them. It's now kind of like how the men's game was in the 80s and 90s.
Yes.
And that's why you've seen such a skyrocket in their popularity.
All right. Well, we'll take a quick break, but on the back end of this, we'll talk a little bit of my guys again, the Steelers. We got to get back. We got to finish off.
We got to finish. We got to play win-loss.
Come on.
Get it ready, Jay Felly. Win-loss. Coming back.
Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
What was going through your head when David Baker appeared all of a sudden, Bill?
You know, I had absolutely no idea. And the ironic part of it was that I sat down that morning with my wife, Veronica. You know, I talked about it. I said, I don't think I'm going to get in, and I'm okay with it. I almost put some closure on it. And I was okay. You know, when I came in, no one really said anything. We weren't discussing it. I thought, well, that's being pretty professional. I appreciated them kind of like giving me my space from it all. And I was getting ready to do an eye vision with Phil Simms and talking about Lamar Jackson. And next thing I turn around and I see David Baker, and we all know what he stands for. And it just was a lot of things to try to process at the time. It's kind of why I thought this is the way I thought this was going to be. I thought I was going to get a call that says, hey, you know, you were close, but you didn't get in. And we'd all find out on Tuesday night or something because it's going to air on Wednesday. And it was almost surreal. And it's so funny. I sat back and watched Jimmy Johnson. And the same thing happened to him on the halftime of the second game on Sunday after he got home. And I know exactly what he was feeling. As a matter of fact, I had to put out a tweet, and the first thing I thought about is, you know, did Adam Sandler really know that he had two future Hall of Fame players watching Bobby Boucher in the water park? And Jimmy Johnson and I were down there, and I remember Jimmy and I, this is like 1997, 98, whatever it was. And and Adam actually, I think, has since then retweeted. I said, but we're talking about Boogie Boos, Bobby Boucher, and he's saying he's like Zach Taylor. I go, no, he's like Greg Lloyd. And he goes, whatever. And so it's going to be really, really kind of fun to kind of get reunited with Jimmy over that little one.
That's fantastic, Bill. I mean, that is just great.
Fellas, it's that time of year. Fill the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and smear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost, mold at 180 degrees, all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. The grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You look to cook on two levels at the same time so you can make enough for everyone. You can add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Who's cooking? Steelers, baby.
Steelers are cooking. Okay, Jim, Let's do it. We've been doing this. People call in. We play the win-loss game. Yeah, TJ's done it with the Cowboys. I've yet to do it with the Patriots, but there's not going to be a lot of wins.
Don't be scared, homie.
All right, so let's do it. Let's throw up the schedule, Mike.
Okay,
let's go. Let's get it up there. Steelers schedule. Okay, Jim, I'm going to write this down. Ready?
You ready?
Week one at Falcons.
W.
What Woo!
Week two at Denver.
Ooh. W.
Ooh, 2-0.
2-0 on the road.
2-0, open up 2-0. Wow. Yep. Home opener. See,
now think about
it. Russ going Denver, back to Russ, Denver, Russ, man. Russ going back to Denver.
Russ going back. He has a chip on his shoulder.
Personal.
Come on.
Okay. Week three, home opener, Chargers. Harbaugh coming. Yeah.
Come on, give me. I owe Harbaugh anyway.
3-0.
He left Michigan before I got a chance to get him.
Okay. Week four, Indy. That's going to be a tough one.
Just at Indy. Mm. I just think it's going to be, I think after those first three right there, because we're going to be 3-0. And it might be looking ahead to Dallas.
All right, so you're going to trap game?
Yeah, trap game.
Trap game. All right, week five, Dallas.
No, tread lightly now.
Come on, baby.
Tread lightly now, baby.
What do you mean?
Home for Dallas.
Huh? No. We're home.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, you're home. You're home for Dallas.
Come on. Come on.
Is that Sunday night? That's Sunday night.
That's right, babe. October 6th. Month of the Libra, which is me.
I can't even get mad at him because I picked the Cowboys to lose that game.
That's our 10th year anniversary that day. All right, week six at Vegas.
Day before my birthday.
Obviously, you're going to be there.
Actually, I'm going to be on a beach somewhere right before the basketball season starts.
Why aren't we in the club getting ready to watch the game?
And I can watch it on the beach.
Right near the beach.
Right near the watch it. At Vegas. That would be a great game to go to.
So,
really?
And?
I think we should.
You're stalling, Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm stalling. You're stalling. You're 4-1 right now.
I don't like that game.
All right, loss.
I don't like the loss. I don't like that game.
Okay. Home for the Jets. Is that Sunday night, too?
Yeah,
that's Sunday
baby.
Night. Home for the Jets.
Yeah, we're good on Sunday nights at home.
All right.
Home for the Giants.
5-2.
Is that a Monday night?
Yeah,
Monday
night. That's a Monday night.
Monday night Giants.
Wow.
Back-to-back primetime games against New York. Oh, you got to win that.
They got to win that. We got bye week.
All right, 6-2 into the bye hole, baby. Could you
imagine? Washington.
At Washington.
Trap game.
Woo.
What?
Yeah,
really?
Trap game, yeah.
All right, now.
Coming off the bye week.
You've yet to play a division game. Now here it comes. Week 11, your first division game. Home for the Ravens. You know it. That's a loss.
Yeah.
All right, that's two losses in a row out of the bye week.
Cleveland.
At Cleveland, week 12.
Back-to-back losses, Pittsburgh.
That's Thanksgiving.
Is losing their mind right
Thanksgiving
now.
Night we at step, Cleveland. Not Thanksgiving, the week before Thanksgiving.
We're going to send some turkeys to Cleveland that time to the Browns, and I'm from Ohio, but I'm taking that one. I don't think we get the Cincy one. I think we can get the Cleveland one.
At Cincinnati off the mini bye.
Yeah, I don't like that game.
Well, three of the four losses. Here we go.
Yeah.
Cleveland, week 14.
Home, we got that. At Philly, no.
At Baltimore. This is the last four games are brutal.
Oh, brutal, bro. Okay, let's switch that. I think we can get the Philly one. I think at Baltimore one is going to be the one.
So
you're getting swept by the Ravens?
Yeah, I think that's tough, bro. Okay.
Win Philly, lose at Ravens. Uh-huh. Chiefs, you're 9-6. Finish strong. Tomlin has secured a winning season, so.
Yeah, Casey.
Win? There's a
no,
loss.
Loss.
No,
and we take Cincy. So we end up 10-7.
10-7.
I can deal with that.
Same
anything
as last
above
year.
That.
Same as last year.
Anything above that. But I can see some of those games in between there. Like Commander's game I talked about after that bye week.
Yep.
You flip that.
All right, so now you're 11-6.
I don't see you getting swept by the Ravens. You know
six.
How those
swept by the Ravens. I don't know,
usually,
man.
They usually
but
split.
But here's the thing. It's when you play them. That's the thing. Within this schedule, it's like when you play them.
The only question that matters, Jim, does Russell Wilson start all 17 games?
Black
no.
and gold. Here we go.
I think something's going to happen. He may miss one where he doesn't start.
But he does not get benched. It's injury.
No, I think it might be injury.
Okay.
Jim Steelers.
Great, Jim.
It's been
enjoy
great.
The weekend. Go Celtics!
Hey guys, welcome to the Candy Valentino Show. I'm Candy Valentino. I was a founder before I could legally order a drink. And for more than 2.5 decades, I've built, scaled, acquired, and exited multiple businesses in diverse industries. Now my goal is to help you by sharing the knowledge that I've learned, the mistakes that I've made, and the wisdom that I've developed over my journey. Bi-weekly episodes every Monday and Thursday.
The Candy Valentino Show, wherever you listen.